Jobber Nation, welcome to another episode of the JTP Lounge. As always, I'm Janelle from HR, here with Sel Wilkins and Mr. Black. I know it's been some time since we have been recording. Don't worry, guys. We will be back this Thursday, so stay tuned for that. But tonight's special episode, we have a very special guest with us in our series leading up to Battle Club Pro's show on May 29th. I'm going to let him introduce himself because he's very humble, but he's also amazing. And I'm going to let him do it himself. So let the viewers and listeners know who you are.
I'm going to need somebody else to do that because I'm not introducing myself. Negative. Nope. Hey, get her off the screen. Can somebody tell the people who I am, please?
Oh, my God. The difficult one.
So I'll introduce him. Yo, it's Mr. Grimm in the building, a.k.a. Mr. Grimm. Okay, Mr. Grimm. Mr. Grimm. Was that okay?
There we go. But you forgot the hitman for hire, Mr. Grimm. And I will body bag a mofo if they get my name wrong or if they make me introduce myself.
Oh, well, you get over it. Where's your briefcase anyway? Last time I seen you, ain't had no briefcase. Where is that?
In my trunk with my body bag.
Do you have different size body bags or is it just like a one size fit all?
Nope. I have a standard and I have an extra, extra, extra large one.
All right. Well, thank you.
What's funny?
Janelle Page is like, all right.
Because I really thought he would have said small, medium, and large.
Yeah, facts.
So when he just said standard, I was just like, okay. That's great.
Hey, all of my body bags are OSHA approved.
Oh.
Question.
Yeah.
Did you get your whole gimmick from the video game Hitman?
No.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So basically, this just started us off with very basic wrestling questions. How you came with the name Mr. Grimm?
All right. So good question. Because it's a very
generic question.
No, it's not generic because I got the nickname Grimm when I was younger. By from like one of my former best friends, he got killed. So I end up using Grimm, you know, as a name, like to pay homage to him because I was always the wrestling fan. He didn't really like it. So he was like, man, you're going to make it one day, Grimm. And he was like, you know, when you debut, I'm going to be right there. Even though I don't fuck with wrestling, I'm going to be right there sitting in the front row. So it's he didn't get a chance to be there. So. Initially my name was like TNT Boom, but once I figured out what I really wanted to do, like I was like, yeah, I'm gonna just go ahead and use it because it's weird because when I made my debut, it was like I was looking for two people, you know, and I know one wasn't gonna be there, but apparently the other one wasn't gonna be there either. It was my dad and you know him, but you know, it just kind of sucked because I was waiting for that debut, but like just. You know, when he got killed, it was like, damn, man, you know, I got to keep pushing forward for him. So that's where the name Grimm originated from.
So talk a little bit about your, like your start of training. Like, where did you train? How long you've been in the game? Give us the kind of background, like Cliff Notes version of your background story.
Before you answer that, like, for the audience sake, because they're going to ask me later on, if you mind sharing, how did your friend get killed?
He got shot in the head.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Dang.
Who's going to ask you that?
I mean, it's whatever, you know, like I'm an open book about it because it, you know, I go to show, like it goes to show that, you know, sometimes some people make it out the hood, others don't. And, you know, I told them before it happened, I was like, yo, the people that we were running with, I'm like, yo, just leave them alone, bro, because they were shady. Because they started hating. You know, we were making money, and they weren't making as much money as we were. So I was like, I told them, I was like, bro, you need to leave them alone, like, because, like, they shady. And he ain't do it. And the same dudes who we used to bang with are the ones who, you know, robbed him and killed him.
Wow. Wow, thanks. Yeah. Did they ever get caught?
Well, you could say that.
So I noticed that your sweater that you have nightmare
right?
Many men.
Listen, that got real Ghost and Tommy on us. I was like, okay.
Listen, I'll try to shift the mood to something because
you should have let him answer my question of
I'm not trying to turn to the Vlad interview where they said that we put somebody behind bars. That's why I try to shift the topic. I say, yes, his sweater has, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas. And I noticed that you're a fan. Do you incorporate that film into your ring gear or to anything in your wrestling? Do you incorporate that in any way?
It's not that I incorporate it in my style, but going back to where my name originated from was me liking skulls. And like I was in DC, one of the only black dudes that would like be wearing skulls. And, you know, that's kind of where it came from. So even back then I was wearing skulls. Now I like wearing skulls. Like, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I do like the Nightmare Before Christmas, but like I mainly had it on. Like I like skulls, man. And it's a Christmas sweater. Like, I don't know if y'all have noticed, like, but previously, like on my past shows, like I started wearing Christmas sweaters to my shows, and that's kind of gonna like be my thing. I started it during Mania Week in Tampa, so I had a sleeveless Christmas sweater with a wreath and a bell on it, and it lit up.
At which show? Because the show I saw you at, I definitely didn't see no Christmas sweater.
Which show were you at?
The one where you had the match with Timmy.
Yeah, I was wearing it that day.
He wore it to the show, not at the show.
Oh, so I was like...
I was wearing it before, like... So when I got there, like, during the first couple of shows that I was at, I had it on. Like, when I came back to the show, I had it on. And it was like, once it was time for me to get dressed, I took it off. So, and then... Wait, did I put it back on once when we went to...
Yeah, absolutely not.
I don't think I put it back on.
You have a guest? Like, somebody to call with you?
Yeah, two people. They one got, in the back and one next to him.
It's the family. It's in the car.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Family in the car. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my best friend and my son with me. My best friend, she's the one that does all the videos. She records all it.
He's waving in the back.
What's Nick waving in the back?
He's waving in the back.
Yo,
he's actually low-key the first kid that's ever been on our podcast.
Well, we're making history today.
Exactly.
He clotheslined me at Battle Club.
Did he?
Why do you remember that?
Look at him in the back. Look at him in the back. You're like,
I mean, you probably deserved it if he did it.
Huh?
I said you probably deserved it if he did it.
No, we were practicing and we were playing. But he clotheslined me.
You took a fake bump and he let him clothesline
you? No, it was a real bump. I took a real bump. Yeah. but back to how many you have two, right?
Nah, I have four.
You have a village. Oh. How you balance? How you balance fatherhood and wrestling?
Then? Yes.
Like that's just
it's whoa. Like a lot of people think that it's difficult and it's not. Because like one thing about me is my dad, you know, growing up, he wasn't in my life. So I made it a priority to make sure that I was in every aspect of my kid's life. So even though they're not obligated to come with me to my wrestling shows, like they've traveled to more towns than some of these workers out here. And, you know, they've been able to see different places that they wouldn't have seen or I wouldn't have seen without wrestling. So I have them like, you know, every weekend. So the thing is like I tell my kids, look, y'all aren't obligated to come to this on this journey with me. Like if you don't want to go to my show, you don't have to. But a lot of times they want to. And like if they want to, I'm going to make sure they're with me and I'm going to teach them, you know, whatever I can. I've actually been training him and the oldest that I have. And they've been doing pretty good. This one in the back, like if you see him at training, it's like he's not athletic at all. But he will not give up at all. He will not give up. And, like, I had him doing drills. And, I mean, the drills weren't easy by far. And, you know, he thugged it out, man. And it's crazy because, like, he has a drive like me, but he's just not as athletic as me yet. So
what drills did you have him do? I'm curious.
All right, so basically what we were doing – so you have to do a back bump, like you would do three back bumps, then you would do face bumps, then you would get up, run the ropes, hit the ropes three times, After you did hit the ropes, you will run to the corner, do an up and over. Since he couldn't do an up and over where you jump with your feet on the mat, he would hit the bottom rope and jump over. Then it would go, you would do that five times. Then you will run, hit the ropes five times, then do another back bump, get up.
God damn.
Do you serve in the military at any point in your life?
No, it's not that, but you know, one thing that I've learned is like cardio, man. Like you have to have good cardio, and wrestling is different from, you know, like running, playing football or anything like that, because you're having many car crashes in your match. Every single time you take a bump, it's like forcing your body to have a mini car crash. So what I was trying to teach them is, one, you know, being in good conditioning, working on your breathing as you're running, because if you're running and you're not really breathing right, like during your match, say, you know, y'all are getting to, you know, the go home and y'all are going back and forth and you can't pick your opponent up because you're tired, you know, that's on you. Their life is in your hands. So I want to make sure if they decide to, you know, be in the wrestling business, that they're going to be ready.
So also, what made you get into wrestling then? That's like, what was the light bulb that said, you know what, this is the route I want to go?
Well, I actually fell into wrestling by accident. I was playing football in college, and my van had broke down. So I went back to doing security. And while I was doing security, my friend, he asked me, he said, hey, man, we got a job at this RCW wrestling show. And he was like, do you want to do security for a wrestling show? So I was like, all right, why not? So I went there, and I saw it. I was fascinated. First person I saw was Mia Yim. Yo, I fell in love with her automatically. I didn't even know who any of these people were, but my eyes was on Mia the whole time. It was just like, damn.
I mean, you are her type.
You said what?
I mean, you are her type, low key. So.
I mean, to be fair to him, he's definitely lost a little weight, though. He's definitely slimmed down, and you could tell that it has helped him increase like your cardio. And so like when I saw you in Tampa, that's the first thing I said. I said, he lost some weight. I'm dropping pounds.
Well, I mean, I'm dropping pounds like for a reason. Like I'm trying to get to where I need to be, because yeah, just leave it at that. But
heard you.
So, But yeah, like I'm going back to, you know, the drills. It's like you have to, one, make sure that you're in shape. Two, I gave them drills going back, like switching it up, because in your match, you have to remember your spots. Like even when you're tired, you still have to remember your spots. And if you don't, it can mess the match up. So it's like, you know, like especially with kids, it's like their minds are just going everywhere, even adults. And it's like if you're, you know, running back bump, and it's like you got to take the back bump, worry about tucking your chin so you don't, you know, mess your, like, you know, rock yourself. Then get up, face bump. Then you get up, run, hit the ropes. And it's like through all that, you have to keep your breath, because I teach them, like me, I do my back bumps like how, you know, Triple H was teaching the people on Tough Enough. You know, you got to attack the mat when you hit it. So if you watch, when I take like a shoulder tackle, like I'm literally trying to throw myself through the mat. Yeah. So it's like that right there is, it's a lot to it, man. You just got to make sure you're ready. Got to. And if anybody is going to be a protege of me, they're going to be ready. They're not going to make my name look bad.
Bars.
So wait, was this WrestleMania your first WrestleMania like weekend working shows? Like
no. The first one that I had working shows was when they were in Jersey. And that was actually when I made my MLW debut. When I had the match with Loki and was it Ricky Martinez? I mean, I got knocked out in the beginning, but hey, I was still in the match with Loki and Ricky Martinez. And then Conan came up to me after the match and he was like, yo, you made them look good. I appreciate it. So hearing that from Conan, one of my idols, you know, growing up, I was like, whatever.
So how's your experience working with AEW?
I loved it, to be honest. And, you know, unlike when I did extra work with WWE, I didn't feel like I had to walk on eggshells. Like, everybody there just seemed so down to earth, and it felt like I belonged. When I did extra work with WWE, it was kind of like we're trying to stay out of people's way because like you didn't really know who to talk to. Nobody really seemed, well, I'm not going to say anybody because I'll get to that in a minute. But most of the people didn't really seem like they were interested in, you know, talking to us, you know, like letting us pick their brain or whatever like that. Because it was like we just got looked at as extra talent. So I will say, like, and you mentioned his name before the before we got on the show, but like some of the like one of the coolest people there, you know, was like Booker T, like Mark Henry, and I would say Titus O'Neil was like the, probably the coolest one because when we were going out for like the conga line, he saw us and he like, you know, was just talking to us. He was dapping us up. He was like, "Yeah, man, y'all look great." And he asked us, he was like, "Hey, can I take a picture with y'all?" So he took a picture with us and then posted it on his social media. So that was kind of cool. But going back to AEW, like, I mean, it was just, you know, it was a really, you know, unforgettable experience. And I didn't even expect to have a match when I was there. I just thought I was gonna it was going to be me eating catering all day, which I was totally for because I didn't have a match since because that was around when, you know, COVID at first started. Mm-hmm. So my last match was in March. I debuted for them in May. So that was like two whole months, you know, me just sitting on the couch, really not doing anything. And I was just like, you know, because it was a little depressing once everything got closed because wrestling, you know, other than my kids, was my life. Mm-hmm. So it was like I just felt like kind of worthless for a minute. So it was like I got the email and they were like, "Hey, you know, can you be here on Monday at this time?" So I was like, fuck. So I had to like hurry up, you know, start trying to get like, you know, get back in shape. And I had like one open ring the day before I left. But like I said, once I got there, I didn't even know I was supposed to have a match. So I'm thinking everything is everything. I'm about to just be eating catering and watching the show for free. And I was there for about an hour and a half. And then I looked at the match card because they had Dynamite. And then I was like, I saw the match. I was like, "Yo, these matches are lit." Then it goes to Dark. I'm like, "Oh, cool. What's Dark?" Then I see Grimm, and I'm like my stomach just, I mean, my heart just went to my damn stomach at that point because I totally wasn't ready for a match, wasn't expecting a match. And I was just like, if you ask me, like, before a match, am I nervous? I'm never nervous. Never. But I got nervous. And I'm and like, that's a feeling that I'm not used to. So, you know, I was already out of my element right there. But, you know, I calmed down. Like, I talked to Nala because, you know, she's one of my mentors. And I was like, "Yo, Nala, they put me in a match." Like, and she was like, "Good, that's good, right?" I was like, "Yo, what if I fuck up? Like, I haven't had a match since March." Like, and she was like, "Yo, you're going to do fine. This is where you want to be. Like, you've been talking about this moment, like, for a while now. Now you have it. You didn't expect it, but you're here. So make the best of it." So, like, you know, once she said that, I told myself, I'm like, "Yo, stop being a bitch, man. Let's go. Let's go and get this contract." But, you know, like, so we're calling our match. And, you know, it was crazy because I'm in the ring. And it's like, you know, because Warlow was like, "Hey, man, come on, let's call our match." And I was like, "All right, cool." So I'm thinking we're going to just call in the back. And he's like, "Here, we got to go to the ring to call it." So I'm like, I get to go in the ring? Like, you know, I'm like kind of marking out just a little bit. But, like, what's crazy is, like, you know, you got Billy Gunn. You got Dustin Rhodes. You got everybody just sitting up there just calling a match. And I'm just like, "Yo, like, do I belong in this ring?" And then, like, one of my agents, one of the agents for the match was, like, Billy Gunn. And as we're working on stuff, you know, Dustin Rhodes came over here and was like, "Yo, how athletic are you?" I was like, "I'm really athletic. Why, what's up?" And he was like, because we were trying to figure out a move, a spot to do. And then he told me, he was like, "Man, just try this." So, like, when I did it, he was like, "Oh, shit, you got good ups for a big guy." So I'm like, "All right, this is cool," you know. But, yeah, man, it was, like, it was just crazy, man. Like, you know, everybody was just so nice. And the people who used to be in WWE, they seemed so, like, happy there. Like, it was weird. Like, seeing them at WWE was just, like, they just was in business mode. But there, they were just so lax and chill. And it was like, I didn't see y'all like this before. So, you know, definitely, you can tell the locker room, like, AEW's doing something good. you know, something good for everybody to feel the way that they're feeling. And like, you know, them looking happy and look like they're having fun, that's not a work at all.
Nah, that's dope. Quick question. So two questions. First, how was the catering food though?
Facts.
I mean, all right. So the catering was cool. I would say WWE's catering was a lot better, but like it's free food and they're providing for their workers. Like I'll put it like this: when I went to WWE, the last day there for breakfast, I had scallops and filet mignon for breakfast.
Nigga, what?
Yes, bruh.
What?
Oh, put your pinky up when
they
ride.
They have champagne. Like what?
Like I mean, they had like a cereal bar, a dessert bar, and you know, like it was just crazy. Like damn.
The other question is, you've been pretty well traveled within the scene. Done extra for WWE. Done stuff with AEW, MLW. And you are a fan of the sport, did you ever come and meet one of your favorite wrestlers and just like completely disappointed? You don't have to say no names. Just did you ever come across that way? Like, damn, this is who he is? Okay. I guess.
To be honest, I haven't.
That's
because
awesome.
Everybody that I've talked to has been cool because I even named a name like before. Like I was at Limitless. And it was Ricochet versus Matt Sydal. And, you know, I was a fan of Matt Sydal and Ricochet. You know, I don't usually mark out for people. I mean, I didn't even mark out at this point, but I went up to him and I told him, I was like, yo, like, I'm a big fan of your work. You know, like, the stuff you do is dope. Like, I just wanted to let you know. And, you know, Ricochet was like, yo, I really appreciate that, man. That really means a lot. And then from there, it was just like, yo, like, damn, everybody's not a dick in this business. And like even with Matt Sydal, like I met Matt when I was I had to pick him up from the airport one time. This is like way before I was like semi established. But I picked him up from the airport, and you know we talked for a minute, and you know he was just cool. He even like you know gave me his number and was like, hey man, anytime that you know you need advice or whatever, just hit me up. And it was kind of cool because after he debuted for AEW, I texted him and I was like, hey, man, congratulations. Like, good shit out there. You know, even though you messed up, man, like, just keep pushing. And he was like, you know, he was real positive about it and said, hey, man, I really appreciate that. Like, you reaching out to me. Yeah, and, you know, during Mania Week, I was supposed to have a show at his school. And, you know, we talked about it for a minute and we talked about, like, AEW. And he was like, man, when's the next time you're coming up there? Like, you need to get your ass back up there. Like, so, you know, like, he's a genuinely cool dude, man. Like, and it's just cool to, like, not really run into, like, too many dicks in his business who I'm, like, looked up to.
That's awesome. That's
has
awesome.
Has there been anyone that's done the opposite, like, done to you? Like, walked up to you and told you how inspirational you've been to them?
Good question, Janelle.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, it's weird. Like, it's a couple of people who've done that. And I feel weird being in that position because, like, even though, like, you know, I haven't had a contract or anything, I tell people, man, I ain't shit. Like, I'm still, like, you know, I'm still where you are. Like, I've been blessed with opportunities, but I'm just grim. Like, I'm not, like, nobody yet. So it really means a lot, like, when somebody takes the time to say, you know, watching me inspire them. Like, even it was a guy who hit me up today, matter of fact, yesterday, and was saying, you know, I inspired him to start training. And I'm like, you know, stuff like that, you know, it really means a lot. And anytime anybody like feels like I've inspired them, I would love for them to tell me, because that helps to keep me pushing and being positive, you know, just so I could inspire more people to, you know, do what they want to do or just be free and feel like, you know, they can be the best they can be. Real talk.
Nah, that's fire. That's fire, B. That's fire. That's some fire shit. And that, like, did you ever think that you would get this far in the game? Honestly, when you first started, did you ever think that you would be where you're at today? Even though you're not signed yet.
I'm going to be honest, no. Because when I first started, I had, like, I still had that street mentality. And I had to learn not to because it was like, I almost got blackballed, like, I would say a couple of months in the training. Mainly because,
for
like,
what?
Some of the
people... Let's rewind that. Don't go over that like that.
First of all, he really needs to talk about how he low-key was a hood nigga. That's actually what I really want to talk about first.
Man, yes.
Okay, like, if we're going to talk about how you was in the streets first, I would rather hear that first, but, you know, just saying.
But, So
you're not going to talk about the 42 bricks?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. But
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
That's a conversation off camera. Gotcha.
So when I was training, like, I noticed it was like some people who would be working at, you know, deli shops or gas stations or 7-Elevens, you know, feeling like they're better than people because they've been in the business longer. So I've not, like, they were like talking to certain people any kind of way and expected them just to take it. So people like me, I'm a cool dude until you piss me off. And me, I'm a real ass dude. If I have an issue with you, like, if I want you to know, you will. If I talk shit behind your back and you ask me, did I talk shit behind your back? I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. Like, if you want to fight after that, we can fight. If you want to talk it out and end it, we can do that too. I'm cool with it. But the thing that they were doing, they were talking shit behind my back. And it was getting back to me. And then I came up to him and I would talk to him and I'd be like, hey, man, you know, is everything cool? Y'all got a problem with me? And they'd be smiling and be like, oh, nah, bro, you're good. And you know those who, yeah, bro, we're good, bro. So I was like, all right, I'll let it go. So then a couple of weeks later, it happened again. And, like, we had this group chat and I told him, like, yo, I don't give a fuck who y'all are. If y'all keep talking about me, we going to fight. If I have to sit up here and line every one of y'all motherfuckers up, I will line y'all up, fuck you up, then fuck the next person up. And then it was like they were doing a show with Tito Santana. And I'm like, yo, if y'all don't answer me, I'll meet y'all at the show. Like, I don't care. I will fuck all y'all up at the show. Like, y'all are going to stop talking about, like, and this is how it was. And then, like, you got to think, like, all of these Caucasian people, like, they're like, this big black guy's here. And now, oh, he's threatening us. So yeah. Then they started getting other people in there talking about, oh, yeah, well, you're green in this, but you haven't even had your first match yet. And you're being disrespectful. And I'm like, it ain't me being disrespectful, bro. Y'all are being disrespectful to me because y'all are saying shit behind my back and y'all can't even tell me. You can't be a man and tell me that you're doing it. So I learned quick, fast, in a hurry that that's not the way to do shit. So, yeah. I learned a valuable lesson.
Wow, was, man. Like,
wait,
you went from here.
Wait.
Like, you went all the way to here up? To now. He was like, yeah, you know, I want a valuable lesson that day. Yo, listen, that was a ride. I felt that I was there, dog. I felt that I was in passion sheet. Like, yeah, dogs, let's get these niggas.
Wait, but wow. I just want to know, did you roll up to the show, though? Like,
I did show up to the show. But, like, they, trust me, they deaded that shit way before that show.
Oh, okay.
But what did you learn, though? What did you really take from that? Because, you know, because the business is filled with a lot more people just like that. So what did you take from it?
I took from it is this, like, it's called professional wrestling. And, you know, even though you're from the hood, you still have to know when to be professional. And being professional isn't running up on people because they're talking about you. Because, like, what I've learned, especially in this business, everybody's going to have something to say about you. But you can't fight everybody. If you do, you're going to have some pussies out there that are going to press charges, and then you're not going to be able to do what you love. So if you love this business and you want to be professional and move forward and, you know, take it as far as you want to take it, then you have to be professional. Like, sometimes you just got to take it on the chin and just, you know, keep moving. Be like, all right, you know, whatever. This success, you can always kill, you know, jealousy with success. You know, if somebody's jealous and they hating on you, just be successful. That's the reason that I drove so hard, because there's so many people in this business who did not want to see me where I was, who told me that, oh, you shouldn't be a big guy doing 450s. Just go out there and wrestle like, you know, a big man, because he's sitting up there. He's afraid that I'm going to take his spot. And I'm saying this because I end up getting removed, like, later on. You know, I got kicked out of my home promotion because a guy who, like, started to – it was a black guy who started to, you know, gain a little traction, you know, at the company. He saw me as a threat, like, because he couldn't do the stuff that I did. So, of course, they were going to – you know, I was going to surpass him. So he – I started training with other people because I felt where I was training, I wasn't learning anything anymore. So I went to go learn, and they told me, you can either train just here or you can leave. So I told them, you know, thank you for the opportunity, but I'm not going to let anybody put a ceiling, you know, on my career. And honestly, that was like one of the best decisions that I made, because the guy who, you know, was trying to shit on me and, you know, trying to got me kicked out of the company, like, he's not even doing anything now. He came, like, to one of the top companies in Maryland thinking that he was going to wrestle, and they turned him into, you know, like, doing videos, and now I don't even know what he's doing now. So, last time I saw him, he was doing, like, music videos. You said, wow. You know,
honestly speaking, your whole entire life is many men, but the wrestling version.
Yes! Yes!
Because
it's beyond me at this point.
That exact thing is that line from many men.
So you said
we can't lighten up. His name is Mr. Grimm.
It's just a little. I mean, let's try to lighten just a tad.
Wait, hold on.
The first 2 minutes was wow. Like, I was like, oh wow. But it's his life, and you know, he's open about it. And we said before we got on camera, you could talk about whatever.
Yes.
No holding back.
Yes.
So, and what I can tell you, he's honored that. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, yeah. Favorite wrestler of all time?
It's hard saying all time. I mean, it would have to be between Chris Benoit and Brock Lesnar.
Ooh.
Good choices.
When I was younger watching WCW, it was always cool seeing Chris Benoit, like this little guy, just throw the shit out of people. And it was just like, he was a beast, bro.
He's a beast.
Like, he was a beast. And then, like, from the moment I saw Brock Lesnar and he came in there, you know, with Spike Dudley or whatever, I was like, who the fuck is that, bro? Who is that? And, like, I was a fan, like, after that. And I was like, yo, did he just put him through, like, a trash can or something? Like, goddamn, bro.
Remember when he beat up that one-legged kid?
Zach Gowen.
Yeah, I would have loved to have been the fly on the wall in creative to hear how they.
I mean, because the attitude there, they didn't really care like at all. Like, I think that was right when they started going from the attitude era to like the PG era a little bit. But like Zach Gowen, bro, like he can sell his ass off, but. Yo, Brock beat the shit out of him, bro. Oof. I was like, damn.
It was uncomfortable.
Hey, look, Zach got that paycheck. He got that paycheck, bro.
He sure did.
He fought Vince, too. Don't forget that.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a real inspirational story for, you know, Zach Gowen. And I'm pretty sure he inspired a couple of people. Like, did y'all see the legless dude that GCW had a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Bro.
Yes. Yeah, I have it.
That shit was lit. Like, I didn't even know who he was. And he came out there like, yo, look it up. If y'all haven't seen it, look it up.
Nah, I will after this, because that's wild.
I saw it when it came out. It was viral online. I haven't seen it in a long time though.
Yep. Wow. That was crazy, bro. Wow.
So you spoke about the professionalism, you spoke about meeting your idols, you spoke about the stuff that you dealt with in the past. Through all of this, what are some rules that you go by? Like some ground rules that you have come up with for yourself to go by navigating yourself through the wrestling business?
Well, for starters, you know, never put a ceiling on your career. You know, and like to keep pushing forward. Like a lot of times, you know, people, like, especially me sometimes, like, you'll feel like nothing's going on, like, nothing's going to happen with your career, and you just want to give it up. Like, if you really want this, like, you can't give it up. Because prime example, like, another one of my mentors, J.D. Drake. Like, look at him. Like, we were talking.
I love him. I'm sorry. How to mark out.
Love him.
One of the, like, if you, like, some of my moves that I do, like, some of the spots that I do, like, he helped me, like, come up with those to make it, you know, like, to help perfect it. So, it was crazy because we were talking and, what was it? When I was in Tennessee, we were talking and he had another company that he was actually supposed to like sign with and things didn't go right. And, you know, I was talking to him. I was like, yo, man, you know, just keep your head up, man. You got this. Like, you know, don't give up. Just keep pushing. Like everything happens for a reason. And now look at him. And it's just crazy. Like, because, you know, even like with Keith Lee, like I know he's a little older too. And it's like a lot of people like back in the day. 30, like once you hit 30, it was like, you know, you might as well start giving it up because you weren't going to get signed. But now you're getting people 30, 33, 34, 36, like in their late 30s, getting opportunities. And, you know, at this point now, it's like, you got to keep pushing. You got to.
Didn't DDP sign at a late age?
I think he was like 40 something.
DDP
when he signed.
Was like crip walking to 40. So he is like, he legit was the blueprint. In being in late 30s, early 40s, and being at low-key the prime of his career, like of his career.
But you also have to remember, it wasn't too many people back then who were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, now you're getting more opportunities, and it's more companies that you can actually wrestle for. And WWE really isn't the end-all, be-all. Like you can actually make a pretty good living off of the indies. So it's like.
How has the indies treated you?
Facts. Good question.
Now, at first, you know, things really, it was kind of, I don't know, like a lot of people were like, I had like a black cloud over my head because a lot of people were talking about me. A lot of people I feel like were intimidated. It's certain people, like one person because in particular.
Because you was a thickums and you was moving like a cruiserweight? Okay.
I wouldn't even say that. Like, a lot of people didn't like the fact that, you know, I actually, like, I don't hit you to hurt you, but I hit to make my stuff, like, look real. Realistic and make sound. Like, I'm not going to kill you, but, I mean, you're going to get, like, I'm physical. And I tell you the same thing. Like, when we're working, I'm like, yo, I'm a fucking tank. Like, you're not going to hurt me. And even if you hurt me, you ain't gonna know you hurt me. So let's go out there and fuck each other up. Like, not in a, you know, like, let's kill each other, but let's give the fans a good match. Because a lot of people that watch my matches, you know, they question whether, like, it's real or not. Because they're like, yo, you're actually hitting people. And it looks that way, but I'm not killing them. So
true.
But a lot of people, like, you know, they said that I was stiff or, you know, that, yeah, that I was pretty much stiff. So I lost some opportunities because of that. And at the end of the day, I was just like, you know, if I lost an opportunity because of word of mouth, then I really didn't need to be there anyway. I mean, it's more places to work. And, you know, if you think about it, I haven't been on, you know, like a GCW or Beyond, and like I'm doing pretty good for myself. Like I'm not even gonna lie. Like I've traveled, I've wrestled in 22 states already. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Canada. I did a joint show with AAA. You know, yes, I'm putting myself over there, and it's like a lot of people, like who are in like certain companies, haven't even done that. So. Yeah, considering where I trained at, I would say they were at the bottom of the barrel in Maryland. Like I would pretty much say they were the laughing stock when I was wrestling. They were the laughing stock in Maryland, and I managed to come from there and had the career that I'm having. So it's like it doesn't matter how you start, where you start. Like you got to finish and got to keep pushing. Like you got to be motivated. Have tunnel vision, because if you let the bullshit that people say about you. Are, you know, the people that try to pull you down because they're jealous because you're getting opportunities that they're not. If you're worried about everybody else, you're not going to succeed. Only way you can succeed is by, you know, channeling out the bullshit, not letting the bullshit mess with you, and just focus on your goal.
Damn it, 50. You got this, 50.
I can't with you. Wait, where in Maryland are you from?
Well, I'm from D.C. I'm from Southeast D.C.
Oh, okay.
I live in Maryland now.
Okay, so guess what? That makes complete sense. All of the first 10 minutes of this episode. My homegirl is from Southeast, so I was just like, okay. Makes sense.
Everybody in D.C. I know have a similar story to that. Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
I mean, depending on what part you're from, it's rough, man. Like, it's not even the fact that, like, because me, I wasn't, like, a person who would, like, start things, but it was a neighborhood that my neighborhood was beefing with. They were called 37th Street. And we would literally be walking, and people from there would come up to us and be like, hey, yo, we heard you say fuck 37. And I'm like, bro, I don't even know who the fuck you are. And literally, they'd be like, oh, so you don't, fuck 37? And then that's how a fight would start. And I'm just like, bro, like me, I'm minding my business. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a saint. But like a lot of times I'd be minding my business and they would come up to me and be like, yo, we heard you say fuck 37. And I'm just like, here we go. So it'd be like, they fight us. Like, we win. They get mad, come back at us. And it was just an ongoing thing that just, like, it's fucking stupid, bro. Like, yeah. You get a lot of people that get caught out here, and it's just, they don't have to. Like, these neighborhood gangs, man, you know, you sitting up here repping a neighborhood, but you wouldn't be even in that neighborhood if your fucking family wasn't paying their rent.
Preach.
Think about it. So you gonna sit up here and rep a neighborhood that's pretty much temporary for you, and you can get kicked out at any moment.
Pretty much.
Dang.
And you mentioned college. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Virginia University in Lynchburg.
Oh.
Oh.
How was that?
It was cool. Like,
Lynchburg is not very friendly.
Really?
From my experience. So, my old best friend, she went to Hampton. So we would be in Virginia all the time, all over. I know people that have gone to Virginia State. So like going through Richmond, all that stuff. But Lynchburg, we was like, it's a little.
I mean, it was cool for me. Like, especially like, I'm telling you, my whole career, like, you know, when I was playing football and, you know, even the wrestling, it's crazy how everything went. Because I never expected to be in a position that I was in. Like, I literally got recruited from semi-pro football to college. Like, I was playing for the DC Explosion, and we had a bowl game in Florida, and it was against the, I think, number 7th ranked team in the nation, and we ended up beating the shit out of them. So, like, after that game, a couple of weeks later, my coach came up to me and was like, you know, we sent, like, some of your stuff off to a college, and they said that, you know, they want to bring you in. Like, he said, are you interested in going to, like, playing for college? I was like, yeah. I was like,
is this
like,
D1, D2?
Well, see, they were just starting up the athletic program. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot easier to get in because I didn't have to go through NCAA clearinghouse. I didn't even have to like transfer anything. Like I was able to just like slide right through.
Nice, nice. That's God, man.
Yeah, man. And it's crazy because I wanted to play college football and like that created an opportunity. A lot of people don't feel like, you know, you can get recruited from semi-pro to college. And it's very rare, but it happens.
What position
like,
did
one
you
dude. So it's crazy, right? I was about what?
Yo, that's how you know it's about to be some Tim Tebow. Like, you know, I started off as a quarterback, but they signed me as a tight end.
I was never a quarterback, but... So I weighed about maybe 260, 270 at that time, and I was playing wide receiver and tight end. So, listen. Whoa. At my size, I could run like a running back. I had hands. I wasn't that fast, but I could get open. And, like, 90% of the time, I was breaking the first tackle. So it's like, if we're – say we're on, like, 3rd and 5, and they need a – and they need a first down.
First down.
Like my coach, he would call Chicago. That was basically 2-6-1-9 whiskey zoom. And like the two was like a slant. The one is like an arrow route. And that's what I would be. I was doing like the curl. So the six was the curl and the nine was the fly. So they would literally send me on like a curl. And as like before I could even get like through my route, they would throw the ball because I would catch it. And then like nine times out of 10, that first person would not tackle me. So I wasn't that fast, but I could get open. Like I could run routes. My routes were pretty good. And I had hands.
You were a slot receiver more or less.
No, they even had me on the outside. I could still play outside. Oof. Because think about it, at a person my size, right? Imagine if a cornerback is trying to jam me. Like I'm throwing his ass off. Like as soon as he comes out, taking my wrist, like my forearm, hitting that shit, going into my route. Like I couldn't get jammed that easy. And even if he did try to jam me, like I still knew how to get off and get into my route. So,
Wow.
That's incredible.
Outside of wrestling, yeah, that's wild. Like,
wow.
That's beyond me.
Wow.
So, outside of wrestling, what do you like to do? Like, what are you into?
Yes.
Like, talk a little bit about you outside of the square circle. Honestly,
I pretty much like being with my kids. Like, that's starters.
First of all, your little one is too cute. Like for real.
Thanks, son.
Are you talking about Baby Grim?
Yes.
Yeah. She is something else.
And she don't be with the shits.
No, not at all. She will fuck you up. Like I'm not even lying. And the thing is, with her, she loves wrestling. Like I cut on my highlight tape the other day, like because I just put out my new highlight tape, and I cut it on, and she watched it, and it was like as soon as it went off, she rewinded it, watched it again. As soon as it went off, rewinded it, watched it again, and. Funny story. The other, like, I think it was last week. I was trying to wake her up. She would not wake up for nothing. I was shaking her, calling her, nothing. So I was like, all right, let me try something. So I put my theme song, like, I put my phone by her head and turned my song, like, my theme song all the way up. As soon as the beat dropped and it's like, take him out, she jumped up like this and was like, I take him out. And it's like, oh, hey, daddy. And it was like, so.
Yeah, you got that support. Wow. You got the child low-key traumatized, but excited at the same time.
Yo, she jumped up. It was like Undertaker. I thought she was about to steal me or something, bro. Like, I mean, she just jumped up. Like, it's like, just imagine little baby sleep. She like, then I take him out. Hey, daddy. Like, I'm like, bro, she had her fist balled up and shit. I was like, fuck me. Like,
oh, Lord, now you got her ready.
But so, nah, man, she, you know. Like, it's good having, you know, the support system that I have. And, you know, especially now that, like, my older kids are, like, you know, getting older into other things. They don't really, like, come into the shows as much. But, like, I still know I have their support. And that's really all that matters. And I told them from the start, like, you don't have to come to my shows. I'm not going to be mad at you because I know, like, your minds are other places. Like, you might want to go out with your friends or, you know, play Roblox or whatever. Like... whatever you decide to do, like, I'll still be there. Like, just because you don't decide to come to my show or whatever, like, I'm not going to be mad at you. Like, I'm not going to think that you don't support me because I know y'all support me. And it's like, whatever y'all do, like, just know that you have my support as well. So, like, the one in the back, like, he's not the athletic one. Like, my my oldest, he's playing football right now. And
you said she's playing football?
No, he.
I'm about to say.
And I'm not even going to lie. It's going to be a bitch because he's, like, one of the top teams in the country. Ooh. And yo, they be traveling. Like their first game is in August and it's at the Mercedes Center in Atlanta, Georgia.
At the stadium.
Where the Atlanta Falcons play?
If that's where the fuck they play. They like their mother just told me today. Stadium. Yeah. Like they bruh. So it's like now I gotta like try to, you know, I gotta like multitask or whatever, man, because like, you know, I want to make sure I'm at his shows, but like one thing I try to help him understand, even if I can't make it to your game, like you have to remember this wrestling, like it's not how it used to be. It's not like I'm not getting $10 paydays anymore. Like this is actually helping, you know, say if you want a game, boom, do a show. You got your game. And it's helping me get to a point to where I can possibly, you know, help provide for you better than what I can right now. So when I tell them that, you know, they understand that because it's like they've seen me on TV. They've seen, you know, some of the stuff that I do. And it's like I just try to help them understand that wrestling will never come before y'all. But it's my job. So you have to understand, you know, if I don't go to work, like you can't get, you know, the games that you want. You can't, you know, when we're going out to Six Flags and y'all get the season passes, you know, without wrestling, that's like extra money to help y'all do the fun stuff that we do. So, yeah. You know, they tend to understand that a little better.
All about the balance. So what's next for Mr. Grimm? What are some facts, like dream matches you may want in the near future?
All right. This match was supposed to happen, like, I think 3 years ago, and it was hyped and everything, and it didn't happen because the company folded the week of the show. But it was me versus Shane Taylor in a body bag match.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why we all stuck? I was like,
what? Yeah. So I want that match with Shane Taylor. And
I mean, you know WrestleMania is in Dallas next year. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know he was watching the match with me and Timmy at
he was sitting next to me. He was watching it, yeah. So he was telling me it's so funny watching a show with someone who wrestles like that earlier that day. Like he was in wrestling mode. So it was just like, but then when you guys were in the ring, he was a fan.
Wow.
Like he lit, like I've never seen nothing like that. Like, you know, we all know a lot of indie guys and stuff like that. That was the first time I literally sat next to someone that is in the business that does it well, and was genuinely a fan of the two of you going at it.
Wow.
Wow.
Like he was the loudest in the room type of thing. Wow. Like Yarly, like how you are when y'all gets in the ring. That's how Shane was when the two of them was in that ring.
That's amazing.
And it was wow. So dope. And it was so powerful because it was just like, you know, after a year being like pandemic and now WrestleMania is on, the week is on, and just seeing everybody really flourish the way that they were supposed to last year, and just him, like, just his reaction to you guys, I was just like, this is what I love most about the business. Like, we all can support each other in so many different ways.
So yeah, I mean,
it was so dope. But, you know, okay, Shane Taylor body bag match, okay.
you know, like him and, I keep forgetting his name. Why do I keep forgetting his name?
How he looks?
All right. Jeff Cobb. Like, I've always wanted to work Jeff Cobb.
Woo! Woo! That's a Ooh. Real big boy match.
Talking about heavy hitters.
Oh, man.
And that's the thing. Like, I want to go against, you know, bigger guys because I like, you know, having fights. Like, those are, like, even though I can do all the flippy shit, but I think when it's two bigger guys going against each other and then I pull out something where I, like, you know, they're like, oh, damn, I didn't know he could do that. Those are the moments that I like.
I'll be right back, guys. Keep talking.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, all right. All right.
So shifting off of wrestling. So what are you into? Other than wrestling and, you know, being a dad.
Well, I mean, I like playing, like, video games. Like, I play Madden, Call of Duty, GTA. I be chilling with my best friend for the most part. Like, throughout the whole week, we be trying to, like, do different shit. Like, we be fishing sometimes, bowling, getting on each other's nerves.
Mm-hmm. That was a heavy cosign. Mm-hmm. I felt that.
But, nah, I mean, me, I'm the type of person, like, I'm very spontaneous at times. And I just like doing things that, you know, I wouldn't usually do. Like, you know, you're like, hey, come on, let's go try skydiving. I'm like, hey, let's go to the indoor skydiving first. And then, like, you know, try it that way. And then, you know, we've actually picked up on doing like escape rooms. And that's something that I want to get like more into. Like, we've done, what, three or four?
How many did you guys escape, though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one we did, we didn't escape. We were almost there. But this one in the back, he kept touching shit, man. Like, yo, we're in there. I'm telling you. Like, yo, we're in there trying to figure this shit out. And he picks up a skull and the whole shit breaks. we're like, it just breaks apart. And I'm like, Nick, what are you doing? Like, this could be a clue. And he's like, I wanted to help. I'm like, okay, well, like,
you can't be getting mad. Can you, like,
yeah, like, he tried. Like, it's listening.
I mean,
it's something. Yeah,
I mean, I get it. Like, I wasn't that. I wasn't really that mad, but it was just like, you know, we're all serious, and all of a sudden we hear, and everybody's looking around. It's kind of like having a toddler, and then you're in your room, and then all of a sudden you hear the toy, all the toys from the toy box come out, and then you're just like,
or like the Legos, or like when you build something with Legos, and then somebody either like bumps it, and then that's it.
But so we didn't escape that one. We were almost there. We were doing like a puzzle, and all we had left was the puzzle, and then like to get the key out the little compartment, and that was would have been it. So we failed that one. Then we did a basketball one, and we actually did really good with that one. Like, the teamwork was on point. I listened to her a little bit more, like she complains about, because sometimes I try to overtalk her and don't listen.
Sorry, guys.
But
is that from Sonic?
Yeah.
So you just totally paused all of us to go get your little ass Sonic?
It was delivered to the house. I'm doing Ramadan right now. This is my first
You paid meal. Extra Sonic just to deliver to the house.
I mean, bruh. I would. You got money. I do it for Pizza Hut. Easy.
Listen, I'm doing Ramadan, and I haven't eaten all day.
Listen, that's not food. It's BT Dubs, but...
But
you like, listen, like when intermittent fasting and that feeding, and that window you can eat, you're allowed to have a little sugar. Just don't go overboard. Just make sure that you have water right after, just to offset it. That's it. You're good,
Mr. Grimm. I apologize.
It's okay. But the second one we end up getting out of, then right after that one, we decided to do another one. And it was like this clown theme escape room.
That's scary. No.
That's mad.
I'm telling you, like, this one, like, it was like we had to do math. And I was like, man, fuck this. Like, we didn't even get out. Like, the lady, she came through the door. She was like, I was like, damn it. Like, you feel like an asshole when the person has to come in and unlock the door and then tell you the clues you missed.
Oh,
and
no, then, yeah. You feel like a whole dumbass, you know?
Yeah, like, we weren't even close to finishing that
it
one.
It was made for six people.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was just those two. I've done a room that's like that, and we thought we were so close, and then when the time was up, they were like, there's a whole nother door and a whole nother room.
Yo,
we were
just like, look, what? That's what we got messed up on. Because, all right, so we finished one part, and then it's like, it was a closet, right? So I'm looking like through the outfits thinking it's a clue, and we had to walk in the fucking closet and push the door open. I'm like, why the hell do I think my fat ass needs to get up there and walk in the closet?
Where was this escape room?
This was in Silver Spring.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Because it definitely sounded like the one I did in Atlantic City, where the hard ass room, you had to go into the dressing room to open, to unlock that door. It's stupid. I don't like it.
I didn't know that.
I had to get in the closet and push the door behind it. Because, like, we're sitting up there for like a good 5 minutes, and she was like, try walking in the closet. I'm like, bro, I just came out. Fuck you, me walking back in the closet.
That's too much. Guys, any last questions before we say our farewells and we will see this gentleman in about 2 weeks?
Exactly.
I just realized y'all didn't say shit about the show.
We waited to the end. We started at the beginning and we waited to the end.
the final part.
Actually, that's on you. You're the one that's booked.
Aren't y'all the one asking questions?
We ask questions about you.
We ask questions about you. We're trying to get to know you.
We try to let the fans and people know who Grimm is. Now, if you want to plug the show, by all means.
All right, y'all can finish. Go ahead. I'll wait till my turn.
Thank you.
I don't want to overtalk y'all.
Thank you.
What are you eating? What are you eating?
These are sweet potato fries.
Mm. So we've got to ask the most infamous Jabba Tears question. Top 5 favorite rappers. No particular order.
All right, so I like Hobson, Joyner Lucas, KRS-One.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you didn't expect that one.
I didn't at all.
No.
At all.
He likes no. bars. Like, so
this
bars.
Is like this is a historic storytelling episode.
Yes, but go ahead.
Because no one's ever said that.
Yeah, all so, three of those names. Who else?
I mean, definitely Tupac. I was a real big Tupac fan. I wasn't really a Biggie fan until later on in life.
Facts.
I just bought a Biggie shirt today, actually.
And I mean, I know this might be cliche, but like, you know, I have to give credit to like Eminem. Have to.
Yeah, actually, like the first person who said Eminem. Yeah, like, listen, this is very unique. But I like it.
No, so you know it's weird. Low key, they worship him in Detroit. It's the weirdest thing.
Duh, because and, like
that makes perfect sense.
I no, yeah. They worship him, but you rarely hear any M on the radio. Like any old or like anything, they don't play him on the radio out there. The whole time I was there, I only heard one song.
But you was out there for long, though.
He has no new music out.
Exactly.
But even just some old school shit, they didn't play anything.
But then again, Eminem is old school. Like, keyword, you forget that we are in our 30s. Eminem
how, came how, 16, how the hell
15, 20.
Can
like,
I forget how old I am?
Like, Eminem, like, it seems like time just happened, like, last week that he was saying, you know, my name is... Nah, he will play on a classic hip-hop station. Don't forget that, Janelle.
And that's why a lot of his older stuff was better than the new stuff. Like, I heard, like, some of his stuff now, and I'm like, I mean, he's rhyming and making sense. And, like, you got to listen to it because it all makes sense. But it's just like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
So this is my beef with him because I love Eminem.
Yeah, I know.
Currently, he's trying to prove that he can rap. And it's annoying.
Ah.
Like, okay. We know you can rap already. Stop doing it.
Okay, so he's like Jordan going play for the Wizards.
Yeah.
Like, we know you're the GOAT. Oh, like, you have to prove. Okay.
Don't bring that up, please.
Listen,
like, I was so excited for that, but then when I watched him, I was just like, "This isn't the same fucking Jordan." Like, where's the like? No,
true. But listen, during that time when he played for the Wizards, those merch that he had, wow, he milked that market for all he had. He had the Chicago Bulls one with the Wizard throwback with it. Come on, the sneakers, yo, Jordan made some cake.
Side note, though, I will say the statue in front of the United Center is super dope. Because you just said Jordan, and it reminded me the first time I saw it. And I was just like, this is pretty. All right. Because, you know, we don't have that here. Like, there's no, like, monument of, you know, anybody, John Starks or anybody from that team.
I mean, so, why would we have a monument of John Starks?
The first thing I thought about in that winning-ass team that year.
It should have been Patrick Ewing, you know, the greatest.
John Starks, though?
I
bet you're the first person to mention John Starks. Like,
it's that first thing that came to my head, and it was the easiest thing to say.
Patrick Ewing, you say Patrick Ewing, but then again, yeah. MSG, like, look how much like
did
space
you not
is from
see
the entrance.
How they low key try to ID him not too long ago.
Yo, really? But then again, it makes sense. It makes sense because this new generation don't know about Patrick Ewing. But then again, Steve may say a point that, yo, you work for MSG. Everybody should know who Patrick Ewing is. Like, that should be the guest of honor. Like, he built this house. Come on.
Yeah. Story of our lives. Any last questions before we give the floor to our guest of honor?
Oh, okay. I got something.
So
since I pull up the Sonic and you eat your sweet potato fries.
So now y'all having dinner together? Y'all having a date?
Wow.
No.
With the big goat from 7-Eleven.
I gotta get me one of those.
But
that's 100 ounces.
Top five foods.
New top question alert.
I couldn't hear you over the guy in the orange.
Top five go-to meals.
All right. Definitely like chicken teriyaki. I like, you know, chicken teriyaki with rice and noodles. Baby Grim tends to help me eat that. She'll, like, take all my rice and noodles. All right, so I like making this,
Oh, somebody looking for you.
Oh, dang. Yeah. So I like making this it's imitation crab meat. And what I'll do is I'll make it like a cheesesteak. So I'll get the imitation crab meat. I'll spray the pan with like I can't believe it's not butter. And then pour like the crab meat in there, like start cooking it, spray some more. I can't believe it's not butter on that. Put like some lemon juice on it. And like while that's sizzling, man, I'll put some of that Old Bay seasoning on there. Right. And then to top it off with like some cheese. Yo. Oh gosh.
So what side dishes do you make with it? Like make that dish.
Side dish.
It's a sandwich.
Oh, my bad.
Juice? Water?
said juice?
Juice?
Yo, you gotta get off, my phone with that.
Somebody's
let
really
him go. Somebody's really looking for you.
Listen, it's late.
I know, right?
Here, your hotline, crazy. So, what other things you like to eat real quick, and then we're going to say our farewells. They looking for you. You a hot commodity, you know? Like,
I definitely, I like pizza, I like steak, and yeah, I love crab legs. Like, it's a spot up here in Virginia, it's like all you can eat crab legs. Yo, like all you can eat crab legs, all you can eat shrimp, all you can eat mussels, french fries, mozzarella sticks, chicken wings.
What's this place called?
It's called, what is it, the Krusty Krab? Crazy Crab.
I need to go there.
That sounds like crazy some SpongeBob shit.
All right, cool. Crazy Crabs. All right, cool. I'm about to go there.
You look that up. And then, so let's say our farewells and thank our guest of honor, Mr. Grimm, Hitman himself, for joining us on this evening's episode.
Very good episode.
The Java Tears Podcast Lounge. So please let the viewers know where to find you, social media, and then you can plug any upcoming shows that you do have.
All right, so the easiest way to find me, I try to make it easy for marketing purposes. Go on any search engine that you have. Put in Mr. Grimm with one M, wrestler, or the Hitman for Hire Mr. Grimm. Like, all of my stuff will come up. You can also go on my Twitter. Like, I have a link tree on there. You can, like, it's in the bio. Click the link tree. I have all of my links on there. I have like the different places you can get my merchandise mainly. And what I would recommend, if you go to luchaware.art, if you go there, you know, find Mr. Grimm. I have all kinds of items on there and they're lit. I'm telling you, I got, you know, for the people that hate me, you can get like a little placemat, like a doormat. You can step on my face every single time you walk in, walk out the house. I got stuff for the pets. They got pet blankets. They got real, like, people blankets. They got masks. You know, I have so much content on there and items to purchase. It is lit. I'm telling you.
What's the website called?
It's called LuchaWear, LuchaWear.art.
Art. Okay. LuchaWear. Art.
Yep. And once you go on there, it'll, like, you'll see, like, you know, search for like the luchadors, click USA because that's what you're looking for, and just look for my name or look for whoever's name you want to buy stuff from. But you'll see all the stuff I have on there, and it's lit. But I also just put out a new shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. Like, y'all can go check that one out. It's on Twitter, on Facebook, all that. But yeah, man, stuff that I have coming up, definitely, you know, Battle Club.
Wow.
I will be at Battle Club. I'm trying to win this tournament. Like, I don't know if y'all know who my opponents are, but it's Mike Drake. I don't know how to say the girl's name, but it's Davy something. But yo, she be fucking people up. I'm not even gonna lie. And then what is it, Trevor Aeon? So that's the first round match. I mean, you know, Trevor and I, we have history, so just expect us to continue on with that one. But, yeah, I mean, if y'all check my social media, I'm always posting my matches, you know, always posting what's coming up. So just check it out.
You actually promote yourself the best out of most independent wrestlers.
The fact that he said he had a new highlight wheel just came out, I know people that don't even have one.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm going to put this out there, and I'm going to just leave it at that. But the reason that I put that out like really quick, I had a company that asked for me to send my stuff, And the highlight reel is one of the things they ask for. So just keep that in mind.
Okay. Lesson learned.
So he really got mad stuff on his website. Wow. Wow. Yo, he really got like a, yo, look.
Okay, show me. Okay, what else?
Okay, hey, look. So you saw that picture? I have a t-shirt like that. And the t-shirt looks exactly how that design is. The whole t-shirt with the red and black and the smoke. Oh. The whole t-shirt looks like that.
So he really
like I had somebody buy one and they sent me the picture of it. Yo, I'm telling you. No, that's not the one I'm talking about. They had that one and they have a t-shirt where the whole shirt is like the design. That one. That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
That shirt looks exactly how it looks on there.
That's really good.
Good job with your merch, brother.
Facts. I appreciate that, man. But I didn't do that alone. I definitely had a lot of help. I got it's one of my sponsors. You know, I was very happy for them to hit me up. But Zenshi from MLW, he was the one. He's the mastermind behind that. He hit me up one day, like 2 a.m, asking me if I wanted to be a part of a business venture that he had. And this is before any of this happened. Now, you know, months later, this is what it's transpired to. And, you know, it's not just merchandise. It's not just like a sponsorship. He plans on doing other stuff with it. It's like he's trying to do this because he wrestles a lot in Peru. And the people in Peru, like, they don't really have a lot of opportunities like we have. So what he's trying to start working on is, like, talent exchange. Like, he sends some of us over there. Some of them come over here. And, you know, we help train them, like, help teach them and, like, you know, just pay it forward. And, you know, like, he has a lot of stuff going on with this project that he's doing. And, you know, mad respect for Zenshi, man. Mad respect.
Well, there you have it. Make sure That's to it. Go and support Mr. Grimm. Make sure you check out all his merch, his matches. Definitely look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen,
we got to get a picture, too, all of us. You know, now that I've been in the podcast, we got to get a group photo or something,
Listen,
man.
Listen, I'm here for it all. Are you bringing merch up with you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your business manager.
I know, right? Damn. Look, I think I need to put her on the goddamn camera. Let her explain the rest of what's going on. Shit.
I mean, give her some shine.
Yeah, why not?
Put her on the camera. Put her on the camera right now.
Before we go.
No, she said no. It's okay.
Oh,
okay, wow. All right.
You want to talk shit but don't want to be on the camera. Shut your ass up.
Don't tell her like that. That's not.
I'll be at Battle Club.
So we'll see you at Battle Club.
All right.
But no, I appreciate y'all having me, man. Really do. It's been like an hour and 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a blast. It didn't seem like it's been an hour at all.
It didn't at all. Thank you for letting me sip on my Sonic.
You crazy, boy. You crazy.
I was thirsty. Good night, guys.
Good night.